an Ironic Media production. Visit us at ironicmedia.com.
But giving back and sharing the experiences has helped the grief. Like telling the story has helped the grief and made me a stronger person on the inside. And I think that's the silver lining for me, is to move through the grief. And if that means telling your story, then be transparent and tell your story, because it ultimately helps others, but it helps ourselves as well.
Dementia Discussions. Here to help and empower our heroic caregivers with knowledge and experience. Dementia Discussions with the caregivers themselves and memory loss professionals. Here to help with 30 years as a geriatric social worker is your Dementia Discussions host, Barbara Hammond.
Hello and welcome to Dementia Discussions. I'm Barbara Hammond. Today on the show, I'd like to welcome my guest, Karen Tucker. Karen is here to talk about her husband, Russ. I know Karen through my support group with UCLA. It's the Dementia with Lewy Body Support Group. And so, Karen, great to see you today. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me to be here.
Absolutely. Great to have you. So I don't know your husband at all. Tell us about him.
Well, how old is he? He is 70. He'll be 71 in a few days. And he wasn't always that way. He's super loving and gentle. And he is greatly loved by many people. He has affected many people's lives. So I am really, really very blessed to have him as my husband. He wasn't always that way because I married an alcoholic, and I went to Al-Anon, and then he ended up going into AA about a year and a half later. So because of that recovery, he has turned into somebody quite special.
That's great. And he's only 70. He's young.
Yeah. He's young. Yeah. And his mother passed away from dementia.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, she had vascular dementia.
Small strokes. Got it.
Yeah.
Wow. When was he diagnosed, and what was he diagnosed with?
He was diagnosed a year ago with Lewy body dementia. I had been noticing for a while that things were kind of not quite the same. There were some staring spells. I think that was the beginning, the staring spells. His cardiologist recommended he go to a neurologist. So that kind of started the road. And they thought he had like petit mal seizures was the beginning. Then he started with the tremors. And then they thought it was Parkinson's. And later on, a specific test diagnosed with Lewy body dementia.
That's that kind of a common story. That's what we hear in support group too, that most people are not diagnosed with Lewy body dementia right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
They're diagnosed with other things, and then they come to Lewy body dementia down the road.
Yes. Yeah. And my insurance, when our doctor did prescribe him to get the PET scan with contrast, our insurance denied it like two times, and I had to appeal, and I had to get an advocate through the insurance company before he could actually get the test. And it was during COVID, so it was a little bit difficult, and I had to write a letter saying why we thought it was necessary for him to get the test. So I would recommend people pursue that if they possibly can.
And was that definitive? Did that show?
Yes. Yes.
It was. So after
it was absolutely definitive. Yeah. His doctor said, I can't tell you how important that test was to be done.
Wow. And did they put him on any special medications after they diagnosed him?
They did. His doctor put him on Nuplazid, which was very difficult to get. It was a lot of jumping through hoops trying to get that medication. It's very expensive, and it's a newer drug. Does it help? I don't know. He seems to think that it does. It seems to help with some of the hallucinations and some of the stuff that he hears or sees. So,
tell us about the hallucinations. What does he hear or see?
He sees... Well, we have five cats, and he sees a lot of cats. He tells me that aren't there. And I said, well, it could be that they're there because we have a lot of cats. But he sees animals mostly, and he has seen, actually, specifically, he saw actually my sister. I had a little sister who was 12, and she passed away with an aneurysm, a brain aneurysm. And he saw her walk by our window at home, and he went outside to check because he really specifically saw her. And then he realized that it was a hallucination. So I said, well, it must mean she's close by.
So he knows it's a hallucination. He can come back to you and say, oh, goodness.
Yeah, he does. He has good insight, I would say. I'm blessed that he has good insight. Mm-hmm.
And is he embarrassed at all, or does that make him feel self-conscious?
A little bit, but I'm telling you, he is pretty amazing. He'll get up and speak at an AA meeting, and he'll say something or hear something, and he'll like put it out there like, oh, is that real or not real? So he's pretty open about it, and everybody just loves him all the more for that. It's amazing.
That is amazing.
It is. Yeah.
How many years of sobriety does he have?
42 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's a long time.
Yes.
A long time. Yeah.
Good for him. That's great.
It is great. Was it always like a piece of cake? Got a lot of ups and downs in that journey.
Yeah. So speaking of ups and downs, you haven't even talked about the other people at home that you care for.
Oh my, I don't want to scare anybody off. Well, at some point my husband, he decided to build, he's very talented too. So he decided to build a guest house at our home. And it was not something I wanted to do, but he's pretty obstinate and built this guest house. And he just said, it's going to be for your mom. And I'm like, my mom, she doesn't want to come and live with us. So we allowed her to come and visit. And she's 95, and she ended up having a fall, and she was on her own, and then she decided to move in permanently. So she lives with us. She'll be 96 in March of 22. She's pretty amazing, too. I live with really amazing people, so I'm very blessed. She's got all her cognitive, pretty much so. She definitely physically has some challenges. And then we have our son, who is 40. He'll be 45 in December. And he had a psychotic break when he was about 23, 24. And that's been a very, very rough and rocky road with him. But he is doing well today. And he is so, it's a lot of people, but they're all really amazing people. So who would have known?
Including you.
Yes.
You're the caregiver for a lot of folks, but we'll concentrate on your husband today.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So what's been the hardest part for you? What would you say?
I think the hardest part is carving out time for myself and not really taking things too personal that he'll say or he'll get upset over. Sometimes he'll bark and then I bark back and then I think, oh, it's not really necessary to bark back. So I really have to practice not taking anything personal that he says. And I think another challenge too is like making decisions, doing these things that he's always taken care of, like taking care of the car. He was always really good about that. And I've had to kind of step up and do those kinds of things. And he knows it, but it's hard for me to know when to step in and when to step back to let him preserve his dignity. That's a challenge.
And will he tell you, oh, I can still do that? Or, well, is there any, I don't know.
He does tell me sometimes. He said, I can't do it. Like, we're on a trip. We came up here and we got ready to go. And he used to always check the tires before we would go. So I said, at some point, I'm going to have to learn how to do that. I don't know how to do that. So that's what I did before we came, as I checked the pressure on the tires, and we have all the equipment to do it. So, and I get up to our place here we have, and I turn on the hot water heater, and kind of a handy lady.
You've become handy.
Handy woman.
Yes. So he can still tell you I can do it or I can't do it.
Yes, pretty much so. He can do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he'll try and fail, and then he'll say, I need help. Yeah.
Is he still driving?
No. He willingly gave that up. He had a couple of scary situations. One where he was making a left-hand turn where he had one of those blackout spells. And he said, I can't do this anymore. It's too dangerous. So I'm really lucky in a lot of areas. Yeah.
You are. That's unusual.
Yeah.
Wow. And how about like cooking? Is he a person who likes to be in the kitchen or no?
No, he never was. He's, unfortunately, he likes a lot of fast foods and they want like that instant gratification. But he did, like this morning, he got up and he made some cereal. He has a hard time with his fine motor skills, doing like opening little packages and things like that. He can't do that so well.
Feeding himself. Of course, he can do that.
He can do that. Yeah. He has really bad tremors, but it's mostly when he gets a little nervous or he flaps, his hand flaps quite a lot. And if he's holding a paper and he's sitting in the back seat of our car, I have to turn around and say, take that paper off.
You're flapping around.
Yeah.
Oh, so goodness. Have you tried those weighted utensils? Has he tried those?
I have not. No, he hasn't. And he hasn't needed to. So far, he's eating. He's able to feed himself with no problem.
Mm-hmm. They're good. You can try them. You can check them out.
Okay.
Some of them you can put more weight on, less weight on.
Okay.
So they might be helpful.
Yeah, you have mentioned that in group, I think.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But if he doesn't need it, all good. You are lucky. It sounds like he is insightful and he knows his limitations and he's willing to give up tasks that he's always done, and he doesn't give you any grief about that, which is amazing.
Not yet. Not yet. Fingers crossed. We'll hope it continues that way.
Anything over time that you feel bad about, like things that maybe you've done or said that you regret?
I know you've brought up about, because my husband has a lot of health problems. He's had 6 bypasses. He has psoriatic arthritis. He has lots of long-term, care issues. And I think the thing I feel, he had his appendix taken out when he was younger. I didn't know anything about anything. And he goes a little crazy when he has an anesthetic. He gets very kind of psychotic after the anesthesia. And I remember after he had his surgery when he was young, he's had back surgery too, long 9-hour back surgery. I wasn't very nice when he was psychotic. And he said, if you come to the hospital, I'm going to throw you out the window. And I just said, okay, I won't come. And he had no way to get home. And I thought that was kind of a tough love kind of thing. But, now he has a physical issue. So now I alert the doctors after he has any surgeries. And I think it's common with Lewy body that they react to anesthesia quite drastically. Mm-hmm. And he always has. So I wished I could not take that back and not act like that, knowing what I know today.
Mm-hmm. Does he even remember that episode?
Yes, he does.
He does.
Yes. Because he had to call his friend to come and get him from the hospital because I refused to go pick him up. So those kinds of things. I think I've had to grow in a lot of ways too with understanding.
It does take growth and knowledge of what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So that might have been before he was even, diagnosed at that point?
No, he was young and he used to do that. Yeah, it was really, really crazy. I'd never experienced anything like that. Since then, I've gotten to learn a whole lot of more things about mental illness and Lewy body dementia and all of the things that go along with that.
Definitely a learning curve.
Yeah. The brain is quite complex. That's what I've learned. And it's not the same for everybody.
How is his memory?
Not good. He's really good at remembering long-term things. He can remember like way long time ago, and I have no recollection about stuff like that. But the short-term is getting a little pretty challenged. He can't remember if I said something yesterday, he can't recall that. Or he'll look for something and he's misplaced it. That's what I notice. He'll like misplace it and he'll bark at me like, where did you put that? I'm like, I didn't even see it. So that I have to kind of just be a little wary of that.
Mm-hmm. So his you're noticing memory changes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's got to be hard. Is he kind of a young, vital guy? Like, looks can be deceiving.
Yes. Yes. He is. Yeah. He's always worked really hard as a young person. He loves to work. I don't think he would ever retire because he loves to work and he loves his job. What he did, he works with swimming pools and he loves swimming pools. He would be out doing repairs with people if he could. He really loved that kind of thing, like working on pools, motors, pumps, heaters, taking things apart. The tools he has, oh my goodness. Yeah, lots and lots of tools.
And when did he give that up?
I would say about a year or so ago. Yeah,
about when he was diagnosed.
Yes, yeah. He was getting a little bit balance challenged. He's a little worried to go around a pool because he can't swim. Because of his back surgery, he's a little worried if he falls in the pool. So he stopped going with his friends. He'll tell them what they can do on the phone. He can explain to them how to work on something. But physically, he can't do what he used to do.
Mm.
Yeah. And he loved it. Loved, loved, loved working. So that makes him sad. He'll say, gosh, I just want to go out there and help him fix this problem.
Mm-hmm. And was it his business or he worked
yes.
for someone? It was his
yeah,
business.
Always his business. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. That is really amazing that he didn't dig in his heels and say, oh, I can still work. I'm fine. But no.
No. He kind of did dig in his heels before he had the diagnosis. And then he would stay with somebody working on a heater like for hours and hours. And I had to go pick him up. But what happened was he would pay for it later, like the next day with his back and be like in bed for like a week with that. And I'm like, this just can't go on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had to put my heels in a little bit too.
The physical limitations
yes.
really started to dictate.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a caregiver, I mean, you're a caregiver for your mom, it sounds like too, but mm-hmm. Your son, although your son sounds like he's doing pretty well.
He is. He yeah. is. Yes.
As the main caregiver at your house, what has worked for you in terms of getting through the day?
In my program in Al-Anon, I've learned how to live one day at a time. So it really comes down to just having enough strength. And I know tomorrow, if I get enough sleep tonight, feel better tomorrow. So, and I try not to push myself too much. Because I'm getting older too, and I'm starting to notice aches and pains and things. So, but I really think having a spiritual connection, really changing my attitude, because sometimes my attitude really tanks and I think, oh, I can't do this. I have days like that mm-hmm. where I can't do one more thing. Or if I walk out of my mom's little house that she has by ours, I'll just be sassing her back, not to her face, but as I walk away. Mm-hmm. And moms are still moms and they can get under your skin.
Yeah.
So
God, you're walking out of her house kind of cursing her.
Yes. Just before I left, she has 24 right now, just when we got away this weekend, and her caregiver was there and she tells her caregiver she needs to have her shower mat put down because they take it up and my mom takes it up and lets it dry out a little bit. She said, oh, just let Karen put that mat in the shower, put it down. And I thought, oh, mom. Yeah.
That's why we have the caregiver.
Yeah. I'm like, what? She's much younger than me, mom. But I just do it. I just think, oh, it's just so not worth making a big deal about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have to just let a lot go off.
Yeah.
Just sometimes I speak up.
Back.
Just let it roll off. It's not really worth ruining my day. Yeah, ruining my day.
Yeah, and there you go. Because that's what it comes down to.
Yes.
You'll ruin your day if you let it. Yeah.
If I let my attitude go south.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a couple of times that you're away. So you have a house elsewhere?
Yes, we have a house close to Vegas. It's close to Las Vegas. And my son and my husband love to come up here. It's hard to get away these days, especially with my mom. It's really difficult. And even leaving yesterday, I don't know if we're going to go until we go, actually are in the car and going. And the last time we were up here, we had to rush home because my mom was having, bloody nose because she was taking too much aspirin and it was really bad. And family members came in to help and it was just a big, big disaster. And I was really upset that I had to come back. And so this time we got caregivers 24/7 and they're all wonderful. They're both wonderful people. So she's in good hands.
Good. So you'll be able to stay where you are.
Yes. Yes.
So I would say that's a great thing that you've gotten away.
Yes.
Even though it's with your husband, you have your son with you because he helps out with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
So does this count as care for you? Like, just being away from LA and your mom.
Yes.
Do you feel more relaxed up there? I mean, it's like a place where you can kind of recharge a little bit?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's very quiet where we are. And sometimes it's a little too quiet because we live in off close to the boulevard and it's kind of noisy with fire trucks and ambulances and stuff. And here it's just like, oh, yeah, you just can take a breath. Mm-hmm. And relax. And then my next door neighbor is really sweet. So she knows when I come up and she invited me last night to go to dinner with her and her friends, which I've done that before when we come up. So, and it's just ladies. So that'll be my getaway.
Good for you. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Good. It sounds like this last year has been tough, really tough with your husband's diagnosis and ending his career, really. Is there any sort of silver lining that's come out of all of this?
Yes, I think with my husband, for sure, I'm aware of the support that he has with his people that he is in AA with, and they pick him up and they'll take him to meetings and they just love on him. And it gives me a little bit of a break when they do that. So I'm really grateful for that. But I'm also learning, too, about giving back. I think with my son's illness, too, we really learned how to, even though things sound like dire in my life, it's really about kind of paying it forward and using the really hard things in life to turn it around and give back to people or share with people how you get through the difficult times. And also, I think for me, it's helped with grief because I think, especially with our son, I experienced a lot of grief with his life, the changes going on in him. But giving back and sharing the experiences has helped the grief. Like telling the story has helped the grief and made me a stronger person on the inside. And I think that's the silver lining for me, is to move through the grief. And if that means telling your story, then be transparent and tell your story, because it ultimately helps others, but it helps ourselves as well.
That is a really good point. So your openness, your willingness,
yes,
your courage to come forward and tell the story about your son, your husband, really helps others and helps you.
Yeah.
Most importantly.
And I'm so grateful for the support groups that are so readily available to us, especially on Zoom. It's really been a great tool to get through this past couple of years with COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank goodness you have your 12-step groups. Thank goodness you have that support. Yeah.
Yeah.
And your husband does too. What a great kind of respite for you that they can take him to meetings and you get an hour or so.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful.
Oh, I was just thinking about, I know in the groups that you share about, you know, like taking him to a daycare or something like that, but that is like, it wouldn't work in my situation. And so taking him to a meeting, or my mom, she watches the Dodgers. She loves the Dodgers. And that's like her daycare. My husband's is like an AA meeting that he goes to. So I think you just kind of have to think outside of different ways to
Absolutely.
Get your relief. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't have to be daycare. That's not for everyone. Daycare programs. But yeah, if it's AA meetings for him, mm-hmm. absolutely. That's great. And there's so many of them. And now you're right. They're on Zoom.
Yeah. And my son does too. So he goes on at 5:30 a.m. in the morning on the Zooms.
So what sort of meetings does he do?
He goes to the AA meetings as well.
Is that right?
He has 3.5 years of sobriety. So
good for him.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Pretty amazing. We do stay busy.
And I suppose he could go to ACA meetings too, right?
Yes, he could.
Alcohol. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if you could give other caregivers advice about what has helped you, what do you think that would be?
I think what has helped me the most is reaching out for support. Mm-hmm. And the support is out there. I certainly did not want to do that in my life. It was the last thing I wanted to do. I was not always happy. I was a lot angry when I reached out and didn't think it was going to work. But I have to say, even reaching out to your support group, I have a friend whose husband passed from dementia, and I know her from my Al-Anon program, and she really persuaded me to reach out to a support group. And she said, because she did not do that. She was really literally locked down with her husband in his care, and it nearly killed her. So she was really adamant that I reach out and get the help and get the understanding and how to take care of myself in the midst of all of it. So most grateful for her.
Yeah, me too. Yes, it's gotten us to meet each other, which is great.
Yeah,
I agree. I think most people do come to group initially. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, throughout, with a lot of sadness, a lot of grief, as you say. Yeah, for all the loss, all the disappointments, the lost dreams that you thought you were going to have with your husband in your retirement.
You're making me cry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, that's okay. It's all good.
But yeah, certainly a lot of sadness and a lot of anger.
That was me. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of gratitude today too. I think that's more where my tears come from. I have a lot of gratitude for people.
For the people that have helped you.
That have helped. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
People you wouldn't have known. Mm-mm.
Right? Exactly.
For all of this, all these difficulties in your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to look back at how it's all been like lined up exactly the way it's supposed to be.
When you say that, what are you thinking when you say that?
I'm thinking of a spiritual, that there's somebody bigger than me. I don't know. They talk about like a patchwork quilt, and it's beautiful on the top part, but there's lots of strings and raggedy parts underneath. And I just kind of think that my life is fit together perfectly, but looks pretty messy underneath.
It's true.
Yeah. Mm.
A patchwork quilt. That's a great image.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to get weepy.
No, I love it. It's all good. It's all good. That's a beautiful image to end on if you want.
Yes, that's fine with me. I'm just delighted. I hope somebody can get some hope. There's a lot of hope out there. And just reach out. Just got to reach for it.
Mm, which is a hard thing to do, but it's worth it.
It is. Yeah, it's worth it. Most definitely.
Well, Karen, I want to thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
For being here today. Thank you for having the courage to come forward and talk to me.
Okay.
And tell me your story, others. So I appreciate it, as I know other listeners will as well.
Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Dementia Discussions. If you're a caregiver or know someone who's a caregiver that would like to be a guest on the show, please call me at 310-362-8232. Or go to dementiadiscussions.net/contact and let me know. It takes courage, because not everyone's willing to do that. I would love to have you. Remember that you can follow Dementia Discussions on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot if you would leave a review. For any other information about this podcast, please visit me at dementiadiscussions.net. And please share this podcast with someone you know if you think it may help. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you here again next time on Dementia Discussions.